Okay, so originally I stopped recording because, putting phone down, I got too distracted by the fact that I was talking. And now that I've had more tea, like I've just had two tiny teacups, I'm like ridiculously hyper right now. It is just absolute fucking garbage how hyper I feel right now. Like, it's not actual garbage. I feel really happy, but, you know, I'm bouncing all over the place and I need to be literally sitting down in one place for a very, very long time. So I'm going to try to do that one thing, which is drawing. So during my break, I took one of the phrases I said in the last recording I made, wrote it on a big piece of paper because I pulled out a sheet, it tore, and I couldn't use it for this drawing. So I was like, this is a waste of paper. I don't want to crumple this up. So I taped it to my fucking wall like I do with most of the paper in my life. Taped it to my fucking wall. Oh shit, that needed more of a curve. I'll have to make that. Okay, so taped that shit to my fucking wall. Drew a rainbow on it because I wanted to put something happy with a weird phrase. Because as much as I hate that Hot Topic shirt that's like super cutesy and it says death metal on it. And then it can be kind of cheesy, but I also like the aesthetic of like morbid bad shit. And then like just really happy fonts and text and hearts and cute things. I like the contrast, it's really nice. So I made a rainbow and said it's all just about the survival, which is what the purpose of that art piece was just me surviving for another 2 minutes while I make it, or whatever how long it took. Just kind of feeling good. And then on my break, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna draw. And I just fucking drank more tea and talk to my roommates about a tea party that I want to make happen, because I'm looking at my tea stuff and I'm like, you know what fucking slap? Having like an OG tea party, like little fancy frills and like doilies and just nice shit, man. Just absolute fucking nice shit. Just having biscuits, having some friends over. You know, it's like a beautiful sunny day or something. Oh, this has to happen in September then if I want it to be sunny. And just making a nice thing out of the space that I'm in. I'm a really big fan of making my spaces happy places, because often with my depression and anxiety, those things, negative spaces get clumped up really fast. Like if I'm staying in the same place for a long time, those places often turn into bad spaces because, like my bed, for example, like my bed turns out to be a really cursed ass fucking place for me. Because my bed is where I take my depression naps, or like when I have no spoons, I'll be there and I'll feel worthless and awful. So my bed tends to be a negative space, even though it's like my favorite, you know, little cozy space and getting comfy. So I'm really excited because we're gonna have a tea party in our new house. I love future event planning. Future event planning is like one of my favorite things because it's, you get to have this incredible power over yourself and your destiny, if you will. When you, like, just have an event and you're like, this event is for fun. It is not for, like, a birthday or a national holiday. It's just particularly just for having fun and focusing on that social energy that we all really need at times and all need to come together and just have a good time. And having that ability to have a good time with other people is super important because we're all struggling against this capitalist system that likes to divide us with nuclear family ideologies, and then like splitting up everyone dependent on race and ability and gender and sexuality, when in reality we are all neighbors, as Mr. Rogers says. Which is funny that I bring him up and think about that concept, because I never watched The Neighborhood when I was a kid. I like saw like half of one episode, thought it was the greatest fucking thing because I loved the train and all the other things going on in the show. And then just never had the ability to watch it again because I had no idea what channel it was on. But yeah, but like, after like the new movie trailer, I haven't seen it either. People kept saying they were crying and I wanted to avoid that. After seeing all those ideologies being passed around about him, that it's all just about loving your neighbor and the beauty that can come from that, I was super fucking down for Mr. Rogers, surprisingly Presbyterian ideologies apparently from what I've read about him. Which is funny because I was raised Presbyterian, but I only really like the bread and the lemon popsicles they would give out to the kids when it was time for stories. about Jesus. And I don't remember any of those stories now, but I like the snacks and I like sitting in the sun and hanging out with people. And again, that's what it all comes back to. I like hanging out with people. I like the beautiful connections you can have when you have an event. And I guess this also stems into, like, protests and other things like that, like coming together moments where we as a society have the power to move and create things. Like, we're seeing this awesome rebellion with, where was it? Oh my god, it's the South American, it's not Puerto Rican. We would know if it was Puerto Rico. Right? No, Lin-Manuel Miranda was tweeting out about it, so there's a really good chance it was Puerto Rico. But basically, recently, there was this uprising where this whole community came out. It was a people of color community. Credit where credit is due. I will look up what it is later. This whole fucking community came out, and they just protested in the street, and finally, for the first time, got, like, the governor, like, the main head honcho to resign, because they were so fucking unhappy. And then there's that also that really cool town in Mexico where they, like, chased out all political officials. And have been a crime-free town ever since. We, because of our capitalist society and, like, patriarchy and all this other shit, we lose sight of how fucking, you know, amazing it is just to be with people. Like, it's super annoying at the same time. Humans are so goddamn awful. But, like, we can also have these beautiful moments where, like, we can just come together and create our own society, create our own fate, create what we want to see in the world, and officials and politicians, they like to make us think that we don't have that power, but we really do. That's why I like throwing parties. Because even when we're so fucking miserable, and being made miserable by our societies that we're living in, we can still have that beautiful, sparkling moment where we just get together, maybe drink, like alcohol, or smoke weed, or drink tea. Have a lovely cup of rose tea, or something like that. And just fucking enjoy each other. Because, you know, it's just so much easier and better when you learn the art of enjoying people, as well as enjoying being by yourself. And when you enjoy being with people, it makes it a little bit easier to be by yourself at times, because when you get all those beautiful validations from people, like people you just met in particular, like, they're like, oh my god, I love your hair, I love the way you talk, it's, like, so nice to make a connection with you right now, and, like, just kindness from others from that particular situation. It's very, very gratifying. It can help you in later moments when you're like, oh, fuck. Why am I even here? Why is there even a point? And then you just get that one person whose words you just can't stop thinking about. And they're just so nice. And how could they, you know, how could they ever just believe in you like that? They just met you. And then you're alone, you're thinking about it yourself, and you're thinking about how much you hate yourself, or don't like the way you look, or things like that. You just remember that person. And you're like, you know what? I am worth it. Because when you're alone, it's really hard to tell yourself those things. I have a really hard time telling myself those things. And this just goes back to me being a Leo, honest to God. But that's how I view it's easier to be by yourself and you're around other people. Because then you get to watch the ways other people fall in love with you, or are kind to you, or just appreciate you. Because we don't appreciate ourselves enough, honestly. We don't give ourselves enough credit for all the shit that we go through on a daily basis. And, as always, one of my core beliefs is credit where credit is due. Always give credit to the people helping you in your life, to those who are creating the change that you actively want to see. Like, I love Alexandria, what's her middle name? Alexandria Octavia Cortez? Is that her name? Anyway, AOC. She is just such a fucking force for change. I'm so inspired by her. She actually makes me think that, like, we can get out of this, like, bullshit situation that America has, like, screwed itself into, and that we can actually, like, conquer climate change. And if we just had more people like her, that we could all just exist and love. This is way off topic from where I was talking about originally. I was talking about tea parties. I want to talk about tea parties and the tradition of coming out to queer communities and stuff and that original tradition. But it's okay. Talking about AO3 is always... AO3? Did I honest to God just say that? I fucking Christ. Okay. AOC. Hey. AO3 is a fanfiction website. I'm a weeb. But yeah, beautiful things come from parties. Beautiful things come together. And Alexandria just inspires the shit out of me that we can all come together and work together. And actually, you know, fucking coexist. Because there's going to be a lot. We're as humans, we're going to spend a lot of time working against people who don't want that. Because as humans, we don't all want the same fucking goal. It's annoying as shit, but we don't actually all want the same things because we're led to believe that those things are actually bad, brainwashed, or like raised that way. And it's just, you know, better if you are better than someone else and continue to believe and work towards that. And that's always going to be happening. So the best thing, the next best thing we can have is a society that is intolerable of those ideologies. One where, like, we actually come together and conquer them. And learn to love each other more. And that's why I like throwing little parties. Because when you have those little moments where you just get together with a bunch of strangers and instantly become friends. One, you get more love because then you get more friends if you actually got to hang out with those people afterwards. Two, just get to enjoy the act of being with others. Because it can be very stressful to be with other people. Like, we're very stressed out, like, when we're, like, trying to deal with a tech problem, we're on the phone with this weird techie company, and they don't get what's going on, and they're condescending to you as fuck, or, like, trying to order food, and, like, you're having a bad day, the cashier's having a bad day, and you're just both so fucking grumpy. But, you know, if you just got that moment to just chill with your cashier, be a little human with them. Or just chill with, like, people who go to class with you, in particular with all college set up. Just get to relax more into that human interaction. I'm going the fuck off on communal love right now. Oh my god. I think I've brought up the same point, like, 3 times now, but just a little bit differently. Anyway, now, okay, yeah, I don't know if I talked about this already, but yeah, so I'm really excited about this tea party. I want to throw it in, like, September. Get a nice tea set going. Have some nice stuff out. Like, actually go out and buy, like, a lot of tea, because I'm okay with, like, freely drinking my own specialty teas now that I'm, like, over being a tea hoarder. Like, today I just made, like, some of my favorite rose tea from a packet of tea that can only be bought in Long Beach and only when I go to the Huntington Library. And so, like, the odds of me going back to the Huntington Library are very slim at this point because I live in San Francisco. It's gonna be, like, at least a year where I can't even think about, like, vacationing or going to other places. Ooh. When me and Michael live together, we should, like, do shit like that. We should just, like, go out to places. Be, like, a real couple. Because I've been dating Michael for, like, 3 years. But we never really get to, like, do normal couple things. Because we've been so long distance, so every time we get together, it's, like, immediately into, like, oh my god, can we just take a nap together? That would be fucking amazing. Or, like, oh my god. We can't even, like, think about doing a specialty date because I'm so goddamn broke and Michael's, like, paying for everything and I feel bad about that. So let's just do something easy. Or let's just go get food. And that's okay, too. I've been very happy with that. You know, one day we will evolve. Anyway, I'm off topic again. Okay, so tea parties. Tea parties are cool as fuck. Gonna make something nice for everyone. Get some nice teas. Because I hoard tea. And, you know, I want to hoard that tea for me still, because I still want that to be, like, a nice thing for me. So I'm going to go out and buy some, like, nice specialty blends. Because most tea in my mind, like, that you can buy commercially, I think that stuff's shite. Like, I hate most commercial bought teas, because the only way I like tea, because I'm a fucking persnickety freak, the only way I like tea is if it's, like, a really special blend. Like, if it's a blend of, like, multiple teas. Like, this tea in particular that I'm drinking, it's, like, really, like, distinct black tea, but it's also got, like, layers of, like, the roses that they have from the garden, and hibiscus, and some other stuff. Actually, let me look it up. Let me look at it. Yeah, it's got rose hips, rose petals, hibiscus. So it's got a nice dark red color to it. Also makes it pretty. And the only other teas I like besides that are, like, my fandom teas that people give me, and then, like, the tea from CK's, which is just all, like, amazing blends of, you don't have no idea what's in this cup, but goddamn, does it taste fucking good. So hopefully I can go buy something fun for that, because I went to this party recently where they had a really nice tea set, And it was just such a amazing, calming energy that I got to experience by all the people who, like, got to, like, make the tea for me and, like, hand me a cup. Or just being able to, like, look through all, like, the boxes of tea that they had. And they just had little cups of just a little bit of everything. And then, like, some mystery ones. Like, Dragon's, like, Core Ship or, like, some shit like that. Like, they just had fun names. You got to, like, poke through them all. That was, like, one of my... That was, like, the best experience of the party. So I want to recreate that. And on God, I've been wanting to have a motherfucking tea party ever since I was born. Like, I've been, like, having tea party idealizations since, like, I knew what a fucking picnic basket was. And, like, knew what a tea party was. And I would have little tea parties with my American Girl doll. And that was the shit. We had tiny crystal cups. It was adorable as fuck. And then, I don't know, just somewhere along the way, I think we, like, forget that we have the power to make the things that we believe in and love to happen like that. Like, particularly, like, parties. I'm very interested in the subsection of why don't we throw more parties. Obviously, like, we don't have enough parties because people are, like, so tired and broken. Like, it costs so much energy to do all these things. So you might as well just reserve that shit for, like, your birthday and, like, call it a fucking day. If you're into parties and, like, do that shit. Whereas everyone else is like, you know what? Don't need to have this many people over. Or, I don't have the space to have people over. And renting space is expensive. So there's lots of barriers to that. I want to acknowledge those barriers. That it's not completely... What the fuck are they doing upstairs? Why does it sound like there's a... It sounds like a sandpaper machine. Oh my god. Okay. I totally lost my train of thought because of that. Anyway. I blame classism and why parties are less of much of a thing. But also, they're just not everyone's thing, and I want to accept that as well. Anyway. But, like, I think they're special because, like, you have this individualistic power where it's like, man, I have always wanted to indulge myself in this fantasy. Like, I've always wanted to go to a masquerade ball and wear a really big ball gown. Or be super mysterious with a mask and a suit. That sort of thing. And we just don't have events like that anymore that are common. Like, there's specialty ones. You can find them online. There's the really... I've always wanted to go to the Labyrinth Masquerade in L.A., particularly. But, you know, you can also just do that shit in your own house. You make your own shit happen, which is really nice. Really cool, good times. So, I remembered I have... I wanted to do this in high school as well. Like, when I say since birth, I don't only mean it's a childhood fantasy, but, like, as soon as I bought my Lolita skirt in high school, I was like, oh, bitch. Oh, my God. I have these really cute gloves. I got this really cute skirt. I want to be sipping from a tiny teacup and drinking delicious things and eating things with people I love. Little pleasures, my dude. But yeah, so it's been a lifelong of wishing for something. And I'm going to put that power back in my own ability to have that thing that I've always wanted. I'm going to do it. I just drew some nice curtains and I'm proud of myself. Yeah, so this tea party, it's not gonna just gonna be that kind of fancy tea party where I pull out all the stops, get a nice tea set and a nice coat on or whatever. This is also gonna be a queer tradition that we're gonna be incorporating with this as well. So the queer tradition that is being incorporated is one where I've, like, read about this in brief and in some queer history papers, but not too in-depthly, but basically there used to be this queer tradition of coming out where instead of the coming out being you coming out to straight society and telling people at, like, your work that you're queer, but rather, like, going to, like, the clubs, the queer clubs, or, like, wherever, like, your queer community really met, and telling them that you're queer and joining their community. And so, like, it's just this beautiful joining of worlds where you get to have another person in your found family. And so that's, like, the idea that Ven talked about when I proposed this to my house crew chat. My hell hasn't had the chance to respond, by the way. They don't even know this is happening, but it's gonna happen. I know they're super fucking down. We've talked about doing tea parties before. Just gonna have to work together in deciding how big I want it's gonna be, because I like to make my parties big because I want more fun, more people, per capacity. Mahal likes tiny parties because that's how much people they can take at a time. You know, it could be really fucking noisy if you have a lot of people over. It's kind of a tragedy. Anyway, I need to shave this. Sue then contributed that to the discussion. I'm super happy, and he also wants to bake for it, which I find super endearing and love him for that. Ven has been such a good, positive person in my life. Like, he's seen me at my worst. This man's has seen me walk out of my room and just be completely fucked up internally. And then he was just like, dude, let me give you a hug. And it was just, oh my god. I cannot thank Benjamin Zide enough for all the things that he's done for me in his lifetime. I hope he understands that he knows. I'm pretty sure he knows that how much he's done for me. Always gotta give credit where credit is due. All my beliefs are just really just around, like, making sure people are happy and know that they are loved. That's just the core. That's the core of it. The condensed version. Because I have a super big belief in giving people credit for the hard work that they've done. Because who doesn't love being recognized for all the hard work that they do? Because I felt unrecognized in my work, so... Again, Leo principles of like, hey, this is affecting me in this way. I don't want others to feel like that. Oh, I talked about the Leo thing in my other recording. But basically, I was talking about the different kinds of Leos that can exist. Okay, real talk. Someone came downstairs to work on some stuff next to my room, and I was too chicken shit to keep talking because I'm so self-conscious about people hearing me talk when I'm talking to no one. So now I'm back. I have no idea what I was talking about. But it's all okay, because I'm just going to keep talking. I want to fill, like, half hour with me talking again. I'm just so gosh darn full of myself as a Leo. Oh my god. How do I keep doing that? So, I think I was talking about tea parties, Mr. Rogers, and, like, socialism a little bit. Because I am just a dirty, dirty bastard for community organizing. I think it's the most gosh darn neat thing when you have all the powers of your society in balance with each other rather than like a 1% system like we have in America. Like the 1% system we have right now is just absolute fucking garbage. And anyone who doesn't think billionaires or trillionaires are inherently corrupt, you're fucking high. You're fucking high. I don't know what to tell you, bro. It's bad, man. It's bad shit. Just seeing the way that like... People are like, oh, Trump's been giving everyone so many jobs and he's such a great president for the number of jobs he's been able to create. And it's like, broski, like, just because you have more jobs does not make them inherently, like, better, gooder jobs to keep up the economy. That just means that, like, more, like, underpaid shit's going on. And, like, we're still not at a point where everyone is able to afford the cost of living. And that's fucking nuts. That's terrible. We should all be able to support each other in a society and all being able to we should all be able to afford to eat. We should all be able to afford to live somewhere. And if you call me like a communist pinko socialist for those beliefs, well, go ahead. I know what I am. I'm just a lover of people. And I hate the rich. And I haven't done too much research. I'll give you this. I haven't done too much research on socialism, but I definitely think there's something to learn about the other systems in the world that are succeeding in their societies. They're doing great, and they have these concepts like universal healthcare, and they're like getting better dealing with their homeless, and they're doing all this other great stuff. And meanwhile, we are just lagging the fuck behind, even though we call ourselves this great first world nation, and we can't even like make sure everyone's healthy, and that's something that other countries do so simplistically. So yes, I will openly talk about those topics. I don't give a damn if you think it's wrong. Oh my god, because that's like devil's in the details, because that's like what it really comes down to in brass tacks that like no one gives credit for. We have all these beautiful ideologies on how we should have world peace, do all these great things, but we don't press on them too hard, because then we think about the details of what those things would consist of. But those details, ooh baby, that shit gets into, ooh, don't like that, socialism or communism to an extent. And we have these big labels for all this stuff that we like want to stay away from as Americans. We want to stay away from, oh my god, universal healthcare will just be like the goddamn weak Canadians. And we're very worried about, like, our personal image, so we continue these underlying systems. These gross underlying systems. And I'm not saying, I honestly, honest to God, I don't think America will ever stop being a capitalist society. Unless everyone gets real quick, really cool about some stuff real quick, in the words of John Mulaney. I think we're always going to be, like, working a little bit with the capitalist system that we've cemented into society so much. So what I'm asking for is just changes within a system. Like, I know that's not very radical, and that's kind of, like, incrementalism, and, like, a lot of people don't really appreciate that. But it's where we're at. We gotta meet where we're at with where we're at. And that's, like, what AOC does, you know? Like, she's doing all this change, and we're, like, loving everything she's doing, and she's doing it within the system right now, because there is a system. So we have to start there. We have to start with the system. And that's just the nuts and bolts of it. On God. Unless you have the ability to cause a revolution, and you think the only solution to this society is revolution, then fucking work on that. We can't do that shit right now. We don't have the means. We don't have the means of revolution. We don't have enough people angry. We have a lot of people angry, but we just don't have enough organization in that angry. And that's why we're losing so much. Okay, I have to shade that in more. So, that's where I am at in my political beliefs. I don't really talk about them that often. Like, I'll flex in human rights issues. Like, I'll like talk about those, but never get down to completely what I think should be happening when it comes to the political situation. Because I think that we shouldn't always think so hard on those things. Be open to change. What's actually going to work in this situation? Because right now we have a system, and we want to completely change the system. But the system has not been completely dismantled. We still gotta deal with the fact that it's sitting right there. So we gotta undo shit that's inside of it. Right now, I work on intersectional feminism. I work on those concepts. Decolonization. Stuff like that. And that will give us the better tools to topple over the things that we just don't like. Just don't want to deal with. Oof. What is Sabrina up to? Oof. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And then there's a lot of personal shit going on. It's really hard to process it all. I want to validate that, like, first and foremost. That not only are we going through this god-awful hellscape of a capitalist society that is being run by Trump, but also we're going through our grandparents passing away. Or, like, losing our cars that got towed and we just can't fucking afford to get them back. Or, like, they got in a crash and we can't afford a new car. So you gotta change with... You gotta, like, accept that big, major life change. Like, just right off the bat. Just deal with all that garbage. And it sucks. Like, it sucks unbelievably hard. Oh my god. And there's just no escaping the misery of your own head on some days. And that's so hard. And it's like, what if 80% of your days are just days like that, where you just can't escape how awful everything is. How awful your brain feels, how awful the fact that, like, your mom just called you, like, fat, or, like, all these little things, all these forks in our sides that we just have to deal with, on top of the fact that we have these huge systematic things that are happening at the moment, and it's just ridiculous, and we all really do wish that we could just go to bed, wake up tomorrow, and have everything just be fixed, and our system is just good, and we can actually trust politicians, but we can't. And the fact that we can't directly cause that change immediately, or directly cause that change from ourselves that we can see in a very, like, coherent and specific way that I am causing change. Like, there's times where you can do that work and it feels good, but, like, very rarely do we get to go out and accomplish that. Like, when I went to go protest ICE, that felt like a very succinct, like, I am causing change, we're shutting down these facilities for a couple hours. Who knows what it actually did? It, like, for some people, it increased a sense of power in them. Did we stop the fact that the whole immigration system is really messed up right now and children are being put in literal cages and dying? Not completely. We did not completely solve that. And so even when you do those little acts, it can still feel like it's not enough. It can still feel like it's not enough if we, like, make a tweet about it or retweet someone else's thoughts that we really agree with.
and we really wish would, like, be the change that we want to see. But the truth is, nothing is actually ever going to be enough. Like, unless you're Martin Luther King, like, unless you are literally the top dog, you devoted your entire life to it, and you made that, you were the leader of that, you never really feel like you did anything. And that's, like, even if you are the top dog, your work's never done. The act of change, the activeness of, like, creating a change in society, in, like, a systematic society, that is a lifelong endeavor. And still will not be completed when you are done, because we have to actively fight against systems like ableism, racism, sexism, homophobia, and transphobia, and all the other bigotry-isms. It is an active fight, and it's going to be constantly happening. So we need to not be so hard on ourselves that we're not doing those things all the time, because there's no way we could ever, like, actually accomplish all of those things. It's impossible. And even, like, when I was GSA president, and I was changing the system at the school, like, I was talking to higher-ups, I talked to the school board, I talked to the superintendent, talked to the principal, talked to all the faculty, classified and unclassified, at CHS in particular. Still wasn't enough, you know? I was still, like, the change did not, like, we did not magically become an LGBT safe zone because they got 2 days of training. Like, and if somehow this, I do publish this recording, and people from the CHS faculty are listening, I'm proud of you for the work that you did with me, and I'm very grateful I got to do it. But the fact of the matter is, I could tell even after that training that you were still messing up my pronouns. A lot of people in the faculty were still struggling with ideologies. We never got a good solution on how to deal with transgender students in a particular way. And transgender situations in particular, like misgendering. Because I could tell, like, immediately after my presentation on how to be a good LGBT ally, a bunch of questions came up, and they never got answered. And those questions were concerning things like, how do we ask students if they're a boy or a girl? And I feel really bad because in that quick fire situation, someone said, is it okay to ask about someone's gender? And I meant to say, it's okay to ask for someone's pronouns and how they identify. But then, like, I said yes and never got to finish it, and someone else said, can we ask them if they're a boy or a girl? And I, like, was not able to stop the conversation well enough to point out that that is wrong. And I still regret that. So people are still having those thoughts. Change does not happen overnight. And even when we're running the change and being the change, the work is continuous. Because people will keep being born and keep having new ideologies and coming from different places in our system. So that's always going to be happening. So we can't be too fucking rough on ourselves, because even when we are being, like, the most biggest change creator, the work is still constant. And honestly, I wish I could have spent, like 2 more years, like, working with the faculty on, like, how to be more LGBT friendly and just, like, spending more time with the campus. But I did a quick slapdash of things that I was able to during that time. Talk to people about LGBT students. Get a gender neutral bathroom going. Didn't get to finish, though. Oof, that's always gonna bother me. But yeah, point is, we're stuck in these really big political situations. You know, the fact that they're continuously going, that's okay too. Because, you know, someone else at the high school, maybe they'll pick up my work. You know, new GSA presidents happen. I don't think any of them, after me, talked to the principal as much as I did. Because we built that specific connection after a hyper-specific situation. And he was very comfortable talking with me at times, and very uncomfortable as well. Because it can be uncomfortable, like, being a principal where, like, literally every word you say could, like, make you lose your job if you, like, just phrase it a little bit wrong. Or just, like, just don't understand a situation and suddenly you're supposed to understand it. Like, that's what I saw in particular when I talked to the school board. I asked, what do you guys think about transgender rights? Or, like, what are your guys' opinions on transgender students at schools? And I, by the way, I'm still so proud I did this, because I did this, like, when, after this big program, this big successful program the school board had put up, where they got teachers from, like, all over the world, like, certain, like, countries in Africa, and, like, Saudi Arabia, or, like, all these different places. So they just had, basically, the World Festival melting pot of teachers who had, like, taught at, like, one of the elementary schools and got to teach all those students about all those different cultures. And then here I am, being like, hey, do y'all respect trans rights? And then they immediately freaked the fuck out, like the whole school board immediately clamped up because they realized that they had no thought into that situation. They barely knew how to address transgender students or use my pronouns. And then they're, like, in front of, like, literally people who will be talking about our school all over the world and their experience that they had with our district. And they're like, oh, shit, not today. Not on, like, fucking, like, World Opinion Day where everyone's gonna, like, take back what they know from today. And I suppose that they didn't realize how those teachers would respond either, because after I asked the question, all those teachers applauded me and were like, holy fuck, look at this student stepping the fuck up. Look at this shit. I didn't know y'all were on this shit. We're happy, like, to be here and, like, witness this right now. But yeah, but the school board gave me a very unsatisfactory response and said that they did not have sufficient information to respond at the time and that if I wanted to request a meeting with the superintendent, I was able to do so by filling out a form, which I did and stuff. But that's terrible. Why shouldn't you be able to respond to situations about transgender students off the top of your head? You know, if you say you have all these equal rights for trans students, but you keep putting gender markers on ID cards when they're completely, like, not needed, and referring to students by their dead names when, like, legally, the only, like, official time you need to be using a legal name is during, like, a diploma. Like, signing a diploma with that legal name. Otherwise, everything's just semantics. So ridiculous. But I'm still really proud of that. But yeah, so if anyone from CHS faculty is listening, you know, I'm still proud of you for doing all that work, man. But, like, it's really easy for me to see, like, how, like, things could have gone just a little bit better and I could have tweaked that a little bit more. When I was only, like, I started when I was 16. I started all the work when I was 16. And now I'm dealing with the whole, like, oh my god, did I peak in high school? Because I made the tuxedo dress senior year, and then I did all that really cool, ooh, I changed the LGBT rights system, got teachers to recognize pronouns shit thing at Claremont High, and then I went to high school, joined the queer committee, hated it, loved it, lots of drama happened, and now I'm just kind of in this place as before where I was just enjoying queer content and having queer events, but not making any change. And, also having no power anymore, because I'm no longer a club runner, because that was a lot of power. Running a club at a high school gives you a lot of power and ability to, like, have, like, a financial bank account with the club. Make fundraisers for, like, whatever problem you see in the world and just start working on it, like, right off the bat. Like, when those poor gay men in Chernobyl were being taken and kidnapped and put in those concentration camps, like, Ige immediately, like, made something for that to help stop it. And I will admit that it was mostly Tommy who was doing that work, that I noticed was doing the work, at least. I don't want to discredit anyone. But yeah, man. Being able to, like, have a community that can just back you up when shit goes wrong, it's really powerful. How am I gonna draw these cars? Oh my god. Okay. I think I'm gonna end the recording here because it's 40 minutes long again. I've been talking for a while. I want to thank, if anyone's listening, if I do end up publishing this, I want to thank anyone who listened to my thoughts. Just relax with me while I talk about queerness, society, and tea every once in a while. I have... God damn it. I have the tea. Ugh. Okay. Anyway, thank you. Goodbye.